Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Let's start with some affirmations this morning. It's an abstract idea and something that has to be discerned spiritually. To instead of saying, I have light, to saying I am light. But the message it conveys to every cell in your body is that you are becoming one with light. If you say, I have love, that's one thing. If you say, I am love, it's just a higher dimension, and it doesn't have to make sense to your natural mind. Instead of saying, I have peace is a great affirmation. I am peace is next level. And don't try to overthink it. Just say it with me. I am blessed. I am alive. I am health. I am abundance. I am love. I am light. Repeat after me. Say it out loud. Put those vibrations out into the atmosphere around you. The energy of the word moves the mountain into the sea. That's what Jesus said. You believe it in your heart, you say it with your mouth, it becomes reality. I am wellness. I am wholeness. I am light. I am serenity. I am strength. I am power. I am success. I am anointing. I don't just have an anointing, I am anointing. I am oneness. I am blessings. I don't just have blessings, I am blessing. I am one with blessing. Don't even just bypass your brain when you say these things. Let it come up out of your belly, and it'll make sense to your spirit. I am present. I am now. I am free. I am freedom. I am liberty. I am faithfulness. I am joy. I am happiness. I don't just have those things, I am those things. There's a power. I say it every week, can't say it enough. If I said it 1,000 times a day, it wouldn't be too much. There's power on the phrase, I am. Moses says to the voice speaking to him at the burning bush, if you tell me to go to Egypt, Egypt has a lot of gods. What God should I say sent me? And the voice says to him, you just tell them I am seeing you. I am that I am. And so when you begin a statement with a sentence with I am, whatever you say after that, those two syllables, I am, they create a dimension of truth so that what you say releases your divine nature. In the 18th chapter of John, when the Roman soldiers, which the King James says it was a band of soldiers, which a band was anywhere from 600 to 1,000 men, that came to arrest Jesus. They said, where is Jesus of Nazareth? The King James says, he says, I am he. But if you look in the Greek, he actually said, I am. He quoted the voice that spoke to Moses at the burning bush. And just the sheer force of it knocked all of those men to the ground. Just the force of the I am. When you say I am, it moves things. It pushes things. It alters matter. Einstein and even the quantum physicists came along and, without even realizing it, verified what the scriptures had said. Energy moves matter, and your words contain energy, and there's no higher energy than the I am. I am blessed. I am divine. I am holy. I am sacred. I am unity. I am understanding. I am wisdom. I am consciousness. All of these things, your inclination to say, no, I have those things. Take it up take it up a notch higher. I am those things. And just try it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to make sense to the natural mind. So anyway, I see a lot of people are logged on. I don't know, I have the strangest feeling this is going to be possibly the best Mobile Metron we've ever had. And it's interesting because the last few minutes, my building only has two elevators in it, and one of them is down right now. So all the elevators are especially slow. So I'm going to do a song this morning. So I came from our loft holding my guitar with a pick in my mouth and my lyrics in the other hand to go down to my car to get the tripod out of the trunk. Also trying to put my mask on in the elevator, like I need a third hand. So I come up here, get set up, and I say, oh, I didn't bring my phone. I would need my phone. So I get in the elevator, and it's like everybody I've ever met in this building was getting on the elevator at the same time. So I'm trying to go back downstairs to get my phone, and everybody's like, can you hit lobby, please? Can you hit P1? Can you hit P2? And the concierge, he was on the elevator with me, and he said, why are you dressed up? I said, I'm about to do my service. He said, what do you mean your service? And I said, I can't do my service live right now, so I'm doing it. I mean, like in person, so I'm doing it live. He said, you're the pastor? Yes, I am. Well, then that starts a conversation, and I'm like, it's 5 minutes still. I can't. Can we put a comma here? I'll talk to you about this later. But my point is, I was, getting on the elevator with people with dogs, and everybody wants to tell you about their dog and whatever. And amazingly, and those of you that have worked with me will know what a huge thing this is, I wasn't even stressed about it. I thought, well, I'll get up here in time and have time to run over this song. And I did. It was like I went into supernatural time. And one thing I'm learning is the more serene you become, the less time bullies you. The more you live in Kairos time, the less manipulated you are by Kronos time. And I'm telling you, I left my unit 15 minutes ago, and you can't believe all the trips I've made back and forth to the car and down to the lobby and helping people, holding the door for people, and still got here in plenty of time to set up. It was like, I mean, I really see that as a miracle. Like, wow, it's like I got extra minutes, and I did. So anyway, it was awesome. There's a lot of supernatural flow today. I'm very aware of the supernatural intervention at Christmas time. Very sensitive to Christmas miracles. When people say Jesus is the reason for the season, I say, well, he's one of the reasons, or he's the face of the reason for the season. But humanity was celebrating the winter solstice centuries before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And Jesus never rebuked that. When the Catholic Church Christianized the winter solstice and made December 25th the birthday of Jesus, when actually he was born in April, I have a sense that Jesus was fine with that. And to me, I'm just very aware of this time of year, the waters being troubled for the miraculous. And if you need the nativity story for that, that's awesome. That's a wonderful story. I love that story. I'm going to sing about that story in a minute. But It's a Wonderful Life is a wonderful story. How the Grinch Stole Christmas is a wonderful story. All the Christmas carols have wonderful stories in them. Earlier this week, I did my version of The Little Drummer Boy. And that song makes me emotional every time I hear it, because it's such a powerful concept of a song. When he says, come, they told me, all these people who are more important and more connected than I am, they told me, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, a newborn king to see. And then they kind of pull class consciousness on it, because they say, our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. so to honor him. So there's this pressure to rise to the occasion and be like everybody else. And so when he's a drummer and he follows whoever they are, I'm assuming the wise men, to the stable in Bethlehem. He says, "Baby Jesus, I am a poor boy too. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I have no gift to bring." Like, in other words, I don't have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those are very difficult gifts to compete with, because that's A-list stuff. And then he says this thing, and whatever your gift is, whatever it is that you do, it's important that you believe it's valuable. And he says this thing, which to me is the most vulnerable statement you can make, where he says, "Shall I play for you?" In other words, would you value my playing my little drum as important as these gifts of prestige that are coming from these magician kings, the magi? I mean, these guys have followed you from a star, and they've got, I mean, from afar following a star, and they've got these amazing, impressive gifts to give you, but all I have is my little talent. Would that be acceptable? And it's a very vulnerable place to be, to say, would you accept my gift? And that's why that song makes me so emotional, because it says, Mary nodded, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, the ox and lamb kept time. I played my drum for him, and I played my best for him. And then he smiled at me. And it's just such a, yes, it's a song about worshiping the Christ child, but it's on a more human level. It's a song about believing in your gift, believing that your gift matters, that your gift is valuable. And I just find it extremely human and touching. I'm very, that message just resonates with me. To celebrate your gift and not compare it with anybody else's, because what you do is unique and valuable, and it doesn't have to be qualified. You don't have to apologize for it. Just do it. And I actually, that day, was already in a frame of mind about another song. I'm going to do it right now. And it had already made me emotional. The Christmas songs just deeply resonate with me. I mean, I get choked up over Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and people laugh sometimes when I say that. But if you've ever been marginalized or bullied or ridiculed, you can understand what that song's about. It's three things. All of the other reindeer used to laugh. I don't know if you've ever been laughed at, but it leaves a mark. And call him names. I don't know if you've ever been called a racial epithet, or you were called fat or sissy or less than or poor or whatever. I mean, I'm telling you, I've done enough counseling over the years to know that most adults are spending their adult life working out stuff that happened to them on the playground when they were a kid. And then it's exclusion, because it says they never let poor Rudolph join in all the reindeer games. It's a you know, light little kid song, but there's a really deep human subtext to it. And then it's about you know, when the right time comes along, because, you know, this red nose that he'd been laughed at and made fun of, it becomes the thing that saves Christmas. One foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, "Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?" There's such a powerful message about just being true to who you are and waiting for your audience, waiting for your right time. We were watching, there's this Broadway show called The Prom. It's kind of loosely based on a true story about a girl who knew she was gay, a high school girl, who invites her girlfriend, to the prom, and all that happens because of it and the fallout. Friday night they premiered the film version of it. Ryan Murphy directed it. It's got Meryl Streep and Nicole Kidman. It's very good. And it was making me think of the Rudolph story, about what it's like to be ridiculed and laughed. If you get a chance to watch it, it starts a little slow, but watch it all the way until that Andrew Reynolds, I think is his name, he sings the song to these Christian kids who don't want to be friends with a gay kid because they're Christians, and he sings a song called Love Thy Neighbor, where it's really awesome about what, you know, people who cherry pick the Bible to clobber other people. Really good. But I'm just saying, I've heard these songs my whole life, and I think about them a lot, and I meditate on them, and they mean a lot to me, and that's why when I did Drummer Boy on that meditation and I got choked up, I just went ahead and posted it as is, because I do deeply feel that. I do believe in Christmas miracles, and I think about so many miracles in my own life, things that happened at Christmas. Like, I remember years ago, I had just been divorced, and I had moved into a place not far from here. It's just I can actually see it from here. And the holidays are really hard during times like that, especially when you have children. I had moved into this, I was renting an apartment, and when I moved out of the house that I owned, I didn't take anything with me. I mean, I didn't take a glass or a fork or a washcloth or nothing. I mean, I just was in an empty apartment starting all over, fresh. And it was fine. I mean, I was glad to have peace in my life, and, you know, I wasn't even upset about it. I mean, I was upset about the divorce and all that was happening in my ministry because of it. But, when Paul said, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound, I'm like, I hear you, Paul. I mean, I've been there too. And I remember it was Christmas Eve, but the doorbell rings, I open it, it's a friend of mine and his wife, and they're standing there with a Christmas tree. And I said, what are y'all doing? He said, we came to bring you Christmas. I said, I can't believe you guys did this. So they came in, they start decorating a tree. Then they bring in all these gifts. There's probably, 30, 40, 50 little gifts that are wrapped. And I said, what have you guys done? And I started opening them, and it was basically a housewarming shower in Christmas form. Like, one gift was a can opener. One was some forks. One was some towels. It was kind of like everything I needed to get set up. And it's not that I couldn't have gone to the store and bought it myself. It's just, you know, when you're very drained emotionally, you kind of have to budget your energy. You know, I just thought, let me just try to figure out how to get through Christmas, and I'll start putting this apartment together. And I didn't have to. I mean, in 30 minutes time, they had totally set up my kitchen. She was in there setting up everything in the drawers. And I really, honestly, at the time, considered it as much of a Christmas miracle as angels singing to the shepherds. And that's what I'm talking about. It's just a miraculous time of year if you know how to, discern miracles. Some people wouldn't know a miracle if it hit them in the head. Even something as simple as last night, I know Kevin and Alicia are both watching right now, I saw their names. And I didn't really know them until recently. I knew Kevin's dad years ago because he was in the Assemblies of God. And when I first started my church in 1985, he was on the board that approved my church. And he was always a sweet guy. I didn't know him well, but he was funny and kind of had a cornball sense of humor that was very endearing. And so years later, Kevin, his son, was living in Texas, where he had lived for the last 30 years, and he bought one of my paintings when I had a studio here in town. And so from that, we've kind of developed a friendship, and now he's married to Alicia, and they've moved back here. And they invited us to dinner last night, and it's the first time we've gone to anybody's house for dinner, certainly since the pandemic. But I knew that both of them have sheltered in place, and they're very conscientious about wearing masks. So I said, that's fine, we'll do it. And when we got there, there's a little video of it on my Instagram, which feeds into Facebook. But he knew that I was disappointed we couldn't go to New York this year. So he took us out on the back patio, and he had recreated New York for us. There was like a New York background, and there was a snow machine, and there were sound effects. You could hear the clip-clop of the horses drawing the carriages in Central Park. And it was, you know, I mean, and yes, they had dinner, and dinner was excellent and delicious, and we're so full this morning we didn't even eat breakfast. But I thought, that's like a Christmas miracle. That's somebody in your life that understands something that's important to you, and they want to just give you this moment. And I put that in the column of Christmas miracles. And I tell you this about miracles, all of you Scrooges that scoff at this kind of stuff. The more you recognize miracles, the more you attract them to yourself. I'm just telling you. For people that say, oh, I don't believe in that kind of stuff, I'm like, fine. Fine. Just live your sad little life without miracles. More for me, you know? But I'm just going to wake up every day, even during the pandemic. You know, strangely, this Christmas, and I think that's why this song means so much to me. But because there's so much we can't do this year, it's actually made me appreciate Christmas miracles even more. You know, so much has been removed from our usual celebrations and our Metron event, which is always this amazing thing that we do every year. You know, we're not doing any of that. We're doing a Zoom party on December 23rd at 8 o'clock. It's on those of you that get the shout out, it's on there. Also, there's information about a live thing that Chandra Corelli's doing on, I think it's next Sunday, on the 20th. And there's ticket information for this. On our Metron event, it doesn't cost anything, but you just have to log on and be a part of it. And I'm actually excited about that. Like, okay, let's cool. Set up your Zoom in front of your Christmas tree and let's, we can't go to each other's houses, so let's, you know, celebrate what we have. But my point is the more you focus on the miraculous, you start seeing it everywhere and you start attracting it to yourself. That's why some people could look at people who live in the miracle zone and say, oh, that's just coincidences and you're just imagining that stuff. That's fine. If that's your paradigm, you're going to live out the rest of your life in a 30-fold return. That's going to be it's a very slim margin. But for those of us who want to live in the 100-fold return, we're already in the promised land. We're already in the land that flows with milk and honey. And it's already an excellent Christmas. What do you say? Yes. Good point, Colonel. I just saw your comment. Anyway, this is a song, I've always liked it. I mean, I love all the Christmas songs. When I was getting my guitar this morning, he said, are you going to do O Holy Night? I said, no, after I heard you playing Mariah Carey yesterday singing O Holy Night, I don't think anybody should ever sing that song again. I think Mariah does the definitive. I've heard Josh Groban and Celine Dion. I'm telling you, once she hits that high note that only Mariah Carey can hit, I don't know if I'm going to even do it again, but we'll see. But this one, I like to not just sing the songs. I want to know, where did they come from? You understand, I mean, I'm a writer, I'm an artist, I'm an author, so I'm very interested in where did it come from? What made you write that? And this song, it's called It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, and usually you just do the first verse. There's actually five verses to it, and I'm going to do three of the five. But it was written in 1849 by a Unitarian minister named Edmund Sears. And what set it apart from other Christmas carols, especially the ones of its day, is it doesn't really concentrate on Bethlehem. It concentrates on the angels coming to sing to man now, and that the thing that's wrong with humanity is they don't hear the angels sing. And he wrote it, like this would have been 20 years before the Civil War, but it was not long after the Mexican-American War. And this guy was a pacifist, and I mean, Unitarians, Unitarians are cool. I'm not mad at Unitarians. I think they're, I probably am closer to what they believe now than I am to my own roots. But this song, for some reason, I was just interested in the lyrics this week, and I was going to the grocery store. Before I got out, I said, Siri, play It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, and I was looking at the lyrics, and you're familiar with the first verse, but it says things like, there's a verse that says, still through the cloven skies they come with angel wings unfurled and sing their something song to all the weary world. And it talks about how their song transcends the Babel sound. It makes a reference to the Tower of Babel. And I think, you know, when I was listening to it this week, I had just been listening to the news, and my God, the news is exhausting. And, you know, it looks like 2020 has been a year, and it looks like the ending of 2020 is going to be as challenging as the whole year has been. And early voting here in Georgia starts tomorrow, and I'm going to go vote first thing. But in the meantime, I don't know that I can handle a few more weeks of hearing these ads, even the ads I agree with, like the four senators who are, or the three Senate, well, the four people who are running for the Senate, the two Democrats and the two Republicans, they have played, there's so much money going in both their campaigns. And granted, I watch a lot of TV and I'm home a lot, so maybe I'm seeing it more than most people do, but dear Lord, when it comes on now, I just mute it. I think I can't even hear it. Even if I agree with it, I cannot hear these things one more time. And, you know, the political stuff has just been exhausting. And, you know, I'm just so over it. And, with everything. And I would have said this no matter what my political persuasions, but, you know, Georgia has had to count these votes three times, and people still think it was rigged and fixed, and we've got a Republican governor and a Republican secretary of state who both voted for Donald Trump and gave to his campaign and are saying, no, we're telling you it's not rigged, and people still think it's rigged. And it just wears you out. At least it does me. And so there was a verse in this song, this is what really got me, and I'll sing it in a minute, but it says, yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song that they bring. And this is the line that got me. And I believe I can sing it without bursting into tears, because I already cried it out at the Publix parking lot earlier this week. This was just a word in season. It says, oh, hush the noise, ye men of strife. Oh, hush the noise, you men of strife, and hear the angels sing. I mean, there's something about the timeliness of your word. I don't know if you can feel it, but I was crying and speaking in tongues. I mean, I've still got a Pentecostal side. It was just like, yes, please, everybody in the entire world, just hush the noise, you men of strife. You people of strife, you women of strife, you politicians of strife, you Republicans of strife, you Democrats of strife, you white people of strife, you black people of strife, everybody, hush the noise of strife and hear the angels sing. It's like it's the cry of my heart this morning. And the last verse is really cool too. Anyway, it goes like this. It came upon a midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their hearts of gold. Peace on goodwill to men from heaven's all gracious gift. the world in solemn stillness lay, to hear the angels sing. And I'm not going to do all the verses, but if you just Google the title of this song, Wikipedia has all five of the verses. When you got a chance, read them all, because they're very, I think they're more relevant today than they were in 1849. But here's one of them. Yet with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel's reign have rolled 2,000 years of wrong. And man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise, you men of strife. I'm going to sing that line again. Oh, hush the noise, you men of strife. Oh, hush the noise, you men of strife. Oh, hush the noise of men of strife. Oh, hush, please hush the noise, you men of strife, and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophet bards foretold. And with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. Please let all song that now the angels sing. Whew. Thank you, Edmund Sears, for reaching out from your words in 1849 to speak to us in the final days of 2020. That's a powerful song. I exhort you to this Christmas season to really pay attention to the Christmas songs. You know, everybody's got a Christmas album. When I listen to them, I mean, most of the artists that are singing Christmas songs are Jewish. I was listening to the Jackson 5 singing Santa Claus is Coming to Town. They were Jehovah's Witness. But when it comes to Christmas, it's a surefire way to always get your music, your stuff played every year, because there's such a demand for Christmas music. And I love it all. And by the way, let me just say, I say this every year, and I guess you see what you're looking for, but all of this conspiracy theory about a war on Christmas, I'm telling you, I just don't see it. Even earlier this week, or was it last week, they showed the lighting of the tree in at Rockefeller Center. And there wasn't an audience this year, you know, because of all that's going on. But they went inside to Radio City Music Hall. If you ever get a chance at Christmas time to go to New York, it's expensive. Everything's expensive in New York. Save up your money if you can, and at least one time go to Radio City Music Hall and see the Christmas show. It's worth it. And it's not just the Rockettes, it's just the whole thing, the beauty of the theater. But at the end of it, they've done it, I guess, since the 30s. It's a live nativity scene where they do the poem One Solitary Life. And they have stables there at Radio City that where they have camels and donkeys and sheep. I mean, they have actual animals that come down the aisles and recreate the nativity. And they played it on NBC primetime when the tree was lit up. They start playing Joy to the World. The Lord has come. They're talking about Jesus Christ on NBC. Nobody said you couldn't say Merry Christmas. Let me tell you something. If you're going to live in the miraculous zone, you're going to have to disconnect from conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories, if you keep believing that everything in the world is nefarious and, you know, deep state and somebody's out to get you, you're living in fear and not in faith, and miracles are just going to pass you right by and come directly to me. I claim all of your uncalled miracles. If nobody's going to take them, I'll take them. And they go into Radio City and they show, I mean, it's, you know, white version, white Joseph, white Mary, white Jesus, which is not, they weren't white, but, you know, that's what Americans are used to seeing, white Americans are. And, but at least it was about Jesus, and they're singing, I don't remember which, I think it maybe was "Oh Come Let Us Adore Him," but there's, you know, this year, I mean, I hear all the Santa Claus and snow songs, but I hear the name of Jesus on every channel I turn on. All of this idea about a war on Christmas, it's manipulation. There's no war on Christmas. Christmas is taken over. It starts earlier every year. And nobody has said, like, you know, I remember years ago I wrote an article about all this stuff that people were saying about Starbucks. They were mad because Starbucks didn't have Jesus on their cup for Christmas. And I thought, it's a coffee shop. It's not a church. I think you're looking for something. You know, and as I'm reading people's comments, I'm standing there waiting for my coffee. Over there, Starbucks is selling an Advent calendar, which those of you who are raised Catholic know what that is. On the music, they're playing the Hallelujah chorus that says, "And he shall reign forever and ever." And I think, you know, people who see conspiracy theories everywhere have inner conflict, and they're projecting their internal unresolved issues out into the world. I'm sorry, there's so much traffic. Good Lord. Hear the angels sing through over all the sirens and the hot rodders. Goodness. Serenity now. Are you going now? All right. So if you want to think there's a war on Christmas, and I'm telling you, I just don't see it. I must live in a different reality than you. And to say happy holidays is not anti-Christmas. There's a lot of holidays. I mean, we're right in the middle of Hanukkah right now. There's 8 days of it. There's all, you know, several religions, including, you know, Kwanzaa's a relatively new one, but it's still, you know, it's still a holiday. Not to mention New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. Happy holidays just mean, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not the definitive voice for Jesus, but I know him pretty well. I've worked for him my entire life. And I can tell you, I'm sitting too much shadow. I can tell you, Jesus does not care if you say happy holidays. He just doesn't. How weak is your Jesus if that's all you can care about? Jesus doesn't care if you put a plastic white Jesus in a manger. So it doesn't, none of that stuff happened like we portray it anyway. So if you want to celebrate it, fine, but don't imagine all of this stuff that's out to get Jesus. Jesus is, I'm telling you, he's doing fine. He's not mad at Santa Claus. He's just not. Goodness gracious, what is going on in this city? Has there been? Okay, how beautiful that I'm doing a message about peace on earth. Something must have just happened. Whatever it is, I speak goodness to it. Whatever's going on, let the best can possibly come out of it. We send that declaration in Jesus' name. All right. I can't overtalk all these sirens. Remember our Christmas event is virtual. It's going to be on Zoom. That email, thank you. That email that we send out all the time. It's funny when people say, well, I didn't know anything about it. I say, do you not get the shout out? The what? The shout out. It's that thing I post on Facebook every week and Avery sends them out. She puts them together. She puts a lot of time into it. Oh, that, yeah, if you'll just read that, that comes to your email every day and has for 6 years, you will know everything. And if you're not on the list, let me know and we'll put you on the list and then you will know all. But we are doing that. Remember, Chandra's event is on the 20th. Our event is the 23rd at 8 o'clock. It's going to be really good. You know what? Since I got my guitar out here, I hadn't planned on it, but I think I've said everything that I wanted to say. I'm going to do one more Christmas song. And for those of you, I'll end with this, but for those of you that want to give, if you want to give to Metron, or if you want to give to me personally, I'll post all my links. I have everything, Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, Zelle. I'll meet you in a parking lot after dark and pick it up. I should stop joking like that. I am abundantly supplied, and I am abundance. I have everything that I need. But I'll do one more. And say Merry Christmas to everybody. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky. Stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. I don't know the other verses, but I'll leave you with that. I've still got a couple more Sundays. I don't want to play all the Christmas songs. But listen to them and let them resonate with you the way that they resonate with me. I want you to hear them. Peace to you, peace to your home, peace to all these families who have lost loved ones because of COVID. Peace to those who somehow think it's still a hoax. It's beyond me, but peace and clarity to them. I just speak peace over people that are unsure about the vaccine. I pray that order can come out of all of this chaos, that we can get past this thing, that people will take it seriously. And for those of you that have had it and survived it, don't be grateful, not arrogant about it, because remember, there's a lot of people who had loved ones that didn't survive it. So please be sensitive to them. You can be positive and still empathetic at the same time. So I speak wellness over your household. I don't know of anybody in the Metron community that's contracted COVID or has it now. I don't know if you have, I'm not aware of it. I didn't mention last time that, because I think I saw Wellington's on here, but those of you that are in the Metron community, Memory's father in South Africa, he passed this week. So keep her in your prayers. It's a blessing because he's been sick for a while, but he's not suffering now anymore. But if I have any influence on you at all, don't live in fear, but please take the precautions. Don't scoff at wearing a mask. I mean, I'm telling you, if you wear seatbelts or lock your door or have smoke detectors in your house, wearing a mask should not be that big a deal to you. And if you're making it a big deal, you might need to examine your motives. And that is I'm speaking to you as a spiritual father. I'm an elder. I can say that without political bias. I'm just telling you, do what you can. Wearing a mask isn't going to fix it all, but it'll help. It's something better than nothing. It doesn't cost you anything. It's easy to do. Stop complaining about it and just do it. And I pray for all of these nurses and doctors and people who are working around the clock in these hospitals where there's not enough beds for people. I pray for their strength and that they have the Christmas miracle of supernatural help. I want the angels, stop calling the angels to do stupid stuff. Send the angels to help these people. Send the angels into these hospitals to help these first responders and these frontline workers who are so tired. They've been battling this thing for months. I just pray, like the line in the song says, that everybody who's talking so much strife will just hush the noise. Oh, hush the noise, you men of strife, and hear the angels sing. I love you. Merry Christmas.